Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving, the greatest.
Hello and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and so glad that you can join us today. I am here in the studio with pastor and educator Gary Cox. And Gary, it's great to be back to have some more conversations about important things.
Amen.
So Gary, we've been having a conversation about the four staples of Christian home education, ideas that we really feel like are super important to your homeschooling from a Christian perspective. And we've talked about a few of them already, accountability a couple conversations ago, and then last week we talked about connection. And this week we are introducing the idea of engagement or involvement. We'll elaborate a little more on that. But here's an interesting thing that I was just reading about earlier. The U.S. Supreme Court has had some things to say about education over the years, but it has recognized parents' right to direct the upbringing and education of their children. But the vast majority of American parents, really, that right doesn't really mean a whole lot to them. They've abrogated that right. They've set it aside and really given it to the government, through the public school system. I know a lot of what we're trying to get at in this conversation today is, why is that? why do so many parents, why do the vast majority of parents, now mind you, we talked about at the beginning of this conversation that there has been a shift, I think, more than we probably have ever seen. Now I haven't been around as long as you have, so you've seen some shifts in education in your time, but still, why by and large do most parents not necessarily see themselves as the primary actor in children's education?
While I'm making up the percentage at 95%, by and large, the primary reason is because parents view themselves poorly as not fit and not sufficient.
Now,
the spectrum.
Now, do you think that is that an external idea, or does that just come from our own nature that we just view ourselves that way?
Well, it comes from three elements. Historically, we didn't have largely educated population until we began to have formal schooling. So, you know, when you started to have compulsory education, making sure that every child had a chance to go to school. That, you know, trying to include 100% of the children in a good education system, that's kind of the foundation. Love stories. Francis Scott Key, his dad was a circuit riding judge under George Washington's presidency, and his dad insisted on home education. And so all of their kids, their property, his birthplace is just like 4 miles from our house. One of the first things we did is go visit it when we moved up to the area. But it was a vision Dad had for homeschooling his kids. So they were educated. So when Francis Scott Key goes to college, it's for a law degree. But then he's practicing law in Georgetown, brand new community called Georgetown. And he built his house. He built a duplex. Right side of the house was the law office. The left side of the house was the family home, family dwelling. And he built it that way because he wanted to be at the house for every meal, interacting with his kids continually, because he was going to make sure his kids were homeschooled as well. Well, he was doing quite brilliantly, and the community realized, well, there's a lot of families that don't have that kind of opportunity. Would you help us put together a free public school for these other families. And it's I love the vision that he said. I'll help you do this on one account. Don't you ever ask me to send my kids to that school, because that's my privilege. So that's a rare part of American heritage when the parents really have it, and that's really what's needed. And if you don't value yourself, then you only have the opposite, to devalue yourself. Now, I'm going to give you an anecdote, but my wife and I, when we started homeschooling, I convinced her, I said, okay, well, let's just try it for a year or two. And then if we see that we're, you know, not capable or whatever, then, you know, we'll go back to the Christian school or whatever. So we began it. And after the like second or third year, I forget, we're evaluating our abilities to educate. And, you know, we don't in any way, shape or form imagine or believe that we can or should be the sole exclusive instructor for our kids. But we felt like, wow, there's some areas where we really don't have the ability to teach like we maybe this child would need or that child would need. And so we thought it through. And again, I went back to simple God's design for the family. And I just looked at Luke 2, the story of Jesus at age 12. Age 12 was kind of the adult age in the Jewish history. So you get your bar mitzvah at that point. And anyway, Jesus went to the temple and he was in the temple asking brilliant questions of the lawyers and the leaders of the synagogue and or the temple. And his parents went on home without him. There were like took 3 or 4 days before they finally found him again. And they were asking him, well, what are you doing? And it was an amazing thing to see at 12 years old. I realize he's Jesus, but I'm also realizing this is part of engagement. This is part of heritage.
Yeah.
12 years old, he understood that his heavenly father had a plan for his life, and he was engaged in making the most of that for himself. So then, but the part that just struck me home, so here you have the most important human being ever raised on the face of the earth, Jesus. And he's in this poor family. His dad was a carpenter, and, you know, they weren't wealthy in any way, shape, or form. And the scripture said that Jesus went home with his mom and dad, and he was subject to them. Mm-hmm. He placed himself under their authority. And then it says the most dazzling thing. And he grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and favor with man. And I just looked at my wife and I said, hey, you know what? I think God's design for the home is so special that I don't have to understand all the values of the home. I just have to say it's valuable. And I'm going to give my children every bit of home that we can give them. And we're going to pray that God covers the areas where we believe they need some help that beyond us. And so we did just that. We committed ourselves to being all the home we could be, and we directly prayed for some specific direction in this child's life, that child's life. And the most amazing thing happened was God provided us miraculously with tutors and governors that offered, said, hey, I've noticed your child has this gift, and would you be offended if I tutored him in this area? And it was, you know, I've one child in particular, all of his professional training came from men mentoring him because they saw his gifts and offered him, and it was without the formal education component. So the point of it is, if you don't value yourself, then you have a tendency to pull back, to not engage. And it was like,
right,
I want to make sure whatever it is, I used to say to my wife, you know, hon, a roof repels water without thinking because it was designed to. So I think God's designed the family in such a way that if we immerse and include and engage our children in life in our home, they're going to get things that we'll never understand fully what they got because we're not that smart, but they're going to get them anyway. They're going to grow in wisdom and stature and favor God and man. And so let's put it that, and then let's just call on the Lord and let him fill in the gaps. And he did. And that's a tremendous story.
So I think you said there were kind of three areas why parents basically don't feel adequate. Of course, you just elaborated part of this, just our own ability really to agree with God,
yeah,
in the fact that he says this is what's true of us. What are the other two?
Well, I guess they kind of all play off of the same thing. Somebody else can do it better.
I guess,
how many times have I heard it said that, the public school system is so great in the race in the world, and, you know, I don't want to rob my children of this opportunity for the, you know, best education system in the world, you know, so we think of it that way. And then over time, so there's really good, there's positive truth to the fact, this is the third item, positive truth to the fact that the more you learn, the more you can do professionally and the like. And so education kind of has snuck into our American culture as the savior, as the redeemer. Mm. Well, Jesus is the redeemer, not education. But there's a cultural mindset that education itself is something that we seek and attain to because it's the key, it's the door to success, to help to a good future and the like. And I think it's a misunderstanding. Yes, it's valuable. And, you know, go through the doors God opens. That's how we always said. But don't just kick a door down and try to get, you know, a degree or whatever, because in your mind, you're imagining, well, I've got to have that somehow. So those are the three items.
That's good. And I think, of course, going along, we just recently heard a little bit of a history of, you know, homeschooling, homeschool law in the country. And of course, one of the things that was brought out was how many requirements there were initially, that if you wanted to homeschool, you had to have you had to be a licensed teacher, you had to have all these different things. So there's obviously this sort of, elitism that has been promulgated, that, well, you can't do this. And we're not advocating here that you go around telling everybody else, oh, I know exactly everything I need to know to educate my kids. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about engagement and involvement, which doesn't mean you know everything. It means that you are the main actor overseeing what is happening with your children's education. And that is so significant.
Right.
And I love that you talked about God being the Redeemer. We in thinking through these conversations, wanted to bring out that God is the Revealer. This is the wonderful partnership that God has with parents, is that He is the one who helps reveal the path and the opportunities and the giftings and the different things that are going on, even in your own home, to be involved in the education of your kids. And our answer to parents who just don't think they have anything to offer is, well, yes, there is. You need to seek God to help you reveal what that heritage, what those opportunities are, because they're right there. You just you need to open your eyes to them.
Right. So education is really wrapped up in that Old Testament saying, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forevermore. So this revelation, this education by revelation, is a heritage.
Yes.
It's a heritage of the parents passing on to their children. It's a delight-based kind of learning, and it's the way God designed us to learn. And one of the things that is important to understand is there's an aspect of the parent's love for a child that isn't matched in any other institution, any other. I remember my first year teaching. We had our first child 2 weeks before school started. I'm now in my first teaching stint. And I had in my mind, well, this is going to be great. I'm going to learn about how to raise a kid by, you know, teaching other people's kids. And I learned the most amazing thing. I'm in front of these other people because it was a Christian school. We had Christian goals. I'm a new Christian. I want to share the gospel with everybody. I had a genuine love for these students. And I'm sitting there teaching these other kids, students. These are our parents' students. And I can't get my son off my mind. My love for my son was so encompassing that he was on my mind all the time.
Wow.
And I realized, wow, I'll never be the teacher. And I would tell parents in teachers' meetings, I'll never be the teacher that you can be, because the kind of love you have gives that edge that nobody else can bring to the picture. I have a little story to tell. This is a true story. So we have a new family enrolling in the school, and I do an initial home visit. And the most important part of the home visit is I want the dad to be there. The reason is I want the dad to be able to hold us accountable. We're invited into your home, Galatians 4:1. You've asked us to be a tutor and governor to help with your family education, but we're under your authority and jurisdiction. So we want you there. We want to meet you. And I got to this home, and the mom told me, said, well, my husband won't come out of the bedroom. So he was there because I required him to be there, but he wouldn't. But getting back to this story, he was just shy. And I asked the mother why, and she said, well, he's just a blue-collar worker. And he doesn't feel like he has anything to offer his children. So anyway, I finally dragged him out. Not literally, but got him to come out and sit down. And I asked him, well, you know, tell me just a little bit about you. What do you do? You have your own plumbing company. Great. You know, what's do you fight your kids along? And I was like stunned. This dad takes his children on every plumbing assignment possible. Your phone went off. Every possible.
It's on the.
And I said, that's the most incredible form of engagement that you could have, Dad. And, you know, he went from feeling so inept that he didn't want to meet me to, you know, me being able to tell him, you know, you have one of the greatest dad stories I've heard in a long time because you're engaging with your children in real life, taking them to work with you, sharing your trade, giving them everything you have. That's heritage. And it was like, really? I'm doing something good? Just that understanding. So there's just something about parents that's so different. The kind of love a parent has cuts across the spectrum way beyond.
I just want to affirm what you're saying because over my years at Wellspring, I've been able to work with a number of different students, especially students requiring more accountability. And I have discovered that I cannot have the same impact and influence. I mean, we do make the analogy to that we're a different sound, we're the gong that helps, you know, get people's attention. But at the same time, especially there is a irreplaceable role of especially a dad in the engagement of their children when it comes to these sorts of things that no one else can do. And just like this gentleman that you encountered, for whatever reason, so many dads have, especially I think, a chronic case of feeling inadequate, or yeah. You know, maybe it's because of there's could be conflict or tension with students. And I've heard that as a reason why parents are hesitant about homeschooling, because they're afraid that it's going to change the dynamic of the relationship, and they don't want to be the bad guy. Well, the fact of the matter is that you have the capacity to bring that nurture and admonition into your children's lives in a way that spurs them on and encourages them and ties into some of the other things we've already talked about, that you can bring to their life in such a positive way that nobody else can do. And I'll just go out there and say, even though there are obviously situations where we have a single parent, or, you know, mothers don't necessarily have that person, the point is, that's a unique and special role that dad brings to the mix, is that kind of engagement. And some people might be listening and say, well, I don't have the time to sit and do all the homeschooling. Well, again, the ingredient here is not teaching, it's engagement, which means, no, you're not necessarily doing all the instruction. Now, that might be appropriate in some cases, but you are engaged in knowing what's going on, helping form that structure, helping give that accountability, being aware of what's going on. I mean, it's amazing how many parents, I think the word that I keep hearing from parents is they were unaware of what was happening with their students in the public school until COVID. And it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, now they're aware. Well, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if your kids are in public school, private school, or homeschool. There are homeschool dads who are unaware of what is going on in their children's lives. And that needn't be the case. In fact, that's not God's design. It's God's right. design for you to be engaged.
Right. And I just, using that word design, and we talked about accountability in the first broadcast, but reality is, this radio program is called Treasuring God's Design for Your Family, and that's one of the primary mottos of our ministry, because treasuring has to do with you stopping, and it really does start with the dad. You stopping and saying, you know what? God created family, and he had a purpose in it, and that was a good purpose. He said it was good from the beginning. And so what is it about my family that's so important? I'm going to value that. And of course, once we start unpackaging it, the first primary ingredient is called T-I-M-E, time. You know, I like to use the word from Deuteronomy 6, immersion, where a child is immersed in the home, and the home is filled with the parents' zeal for the Lord in every area, and the child's exposed to it. And it's that learning by association, learning by doing. And eventually, says in verse 20, and in the future, when they ask, what is the meaning of all this? Then you tell them. Well, that's that teachable moment arrives. Well, I like that it says in the future, when they ask, not if they ask.
Right.
You immerse your children in a vibrant spiritual reality. You're living your life out of a vision for God. You know, for you to say you're a nobody when God said you're a somebody, he's created you, and you have an assignment, that's a demonic assault on you and your family. So treasure your role, dad and mom. Treasure your role, and then, you know, provide time. I mean, I tell you, treasure your role and start creating time. And one of the things I like to tell the dads all through the years is, being an engaged dad doesn't mean that suddenly you have to change your whole life and suddenly now you have to immerse your life in your children's lives. No, just the opposite. Being an engaged dad means that you welcome your child into your world and they get to do with you what you're doing in the real world. You know, I took my sons to Annapolis when I'm testifying on bills. I let them participate in all the things that we're doing just so they can have exposure and experience. That's the vision. That's the purpose. And so that changes everything, though. If my goal is, you know, yes, I've had dads say, well, my job is top security and I can't, you know, allow my kids into that. Okay, well, there are times when, you know, bedroom's locked and you can't be in there. Sorry. I understand. But just recognize every other moment and window of time that you have. Include it. Be a part of it. You know, you have things you got to get done. That's the home economics. Do it. Include your children with it. Now, for us, we prayed. Literally, as we started homeschooling, God, I see that hands-on gardening and animal care is a part of your original plan. I would like that. And God was very kind. He gave us a little farmette. And my farmette covered the basis for immersion in so many areas when there were things that I was doing that I couldn't take my children to everything. Did family together with them.
And I know a lot of people in this last couple minutes probably are saying lots of questions and trying to figure out how that might look. But I think the point is, let's just start with that basic recognition that God has made you. He has chosen you to welcome the children that he's brought into your home, to engage with them in a way that nobody else can. And don't let anybody take that from you. And
what the scripture says is, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, and bring your kids with you. No, I added the part about
that's the Gary annotated version. Well, Gary, we're just about out of time on this conversation. We're gonna come back one last time and try to wrap this up with one last ingredient for Christian home education. If you missed any of our conversation today or the last two conversations in this series, you can go and listen to those at wcfs.edu/radio. Just look for the Family by Design archive. Or you can also go to our flagship station, wthuradio.com, and find the audio vault for Family by Design there. We would love for you to check those things out. If you have any questions, or if you're interested in Wellspring Christian Family Schools and the different programs that we offer in regards to home education, you can find out more by visiting wcfs.edu. On behalf of everybody here at Family by Design, I'm Joel Fisher, welcoming you to join us next time here on Family by Design as we help you treasure God's design for your family.
Children houses, and you can give them lands, and the riches of your efforts, and all your best laid plans.
But of all that they inherit, of all that you could will, please include the unseen treasure of a life that God has filled. Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children.
Your children.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Someday the house will crumble. Time will turn the land to dust. And when all accounts are empty, where will you invest their trust?
But if the riches that you give them is the wisdom of his ways, then the wealth you'll leave your children will last through all their days. Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus. Is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving, the greatest.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children.
Your children.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.